What else is it? Well, come on, there are lots of things it is today. It's the day after Christmas. What else is it?
5 days before New Year's.
Okay, and as such, it's the last Sunday of 2010. Okay, so it's a good time to recount what God has done for us. Okay, but there's also something else that happens in this season, particularly on the East Coast. We always remember, we wish people Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. No, something else. Hanukkah. Okay. So who knows when Hanukkah happened this year? Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Okay. Hanukkah this year started on December. Well, it sundown December 1st and ended December 9th. Everybody know what Hanukkah is about? Okay, it's a festival of lights. Let me refresh your memory. So this, we are going to do some history. Hanukkah comes from the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. During that period, the temple, Solomon's temple, which later was rebuilt as Zerubbabel's temple, was again desecrated. Okay? Sometimes it's called the abominations of abominations. And there was a pig sacrificed on the altar by Greek invaders. And when the Jews were able to restore control of the temple, it was necessary to rededicate the temple because it had been desecrated in this way. And at the rededication, the lamps were supposed to burn for the entire period of 8 days. But there was oil just for one day. But the lamps nonetheless burned for 8 days, and the Jewish people therefore celebrate the miracle of Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights, because the lamps miraculously burned for much longer than one could expect. But we don't want to lose sight of what the holiday was meant for. It was a dedication of the temple. It was a dedication of the Jewish people to temple worship, where they had been called by God to worship Him. And on that occasion, there were a number of different scriptures that were written, were read and considered very important, including Psalm 136, which we read today. Hanukkah is not the only occasion in which this psalm is read, but many other important occasions, including Passover, after the Seder meal, include the reading of Psalm 136, which in Jews call the Great Hallel. The Great Hallel means the great praise, but it's a psalm of praise. And what it does, we just read it, is it recounts, among other things, God's great works, what He has done. So let's quickly, maybe if we can go back, we can look at that. Before we get into, before we get into the details, maybe someone can tell me what was one important message that the author of this psalm felt should come through? This author, inspired by God, felt should come through.
His love endures forever.
His love endures forever. That's very important. Notice that the Jewish people, in their relationship with God, realized, again, God's Spirit, that the most important characteristic of God was that He was a God of love, and that He wanted to love His people, have a relationship with His people. Okay? And it's broadcast. You can't miss it as we go through this psalm. I had suggested that possibly we would read it with the congregation responding, "His love endures forever," because, in fact, there's evidence that that's how it was read in the temple, that the musicians would give the beginning of each verse, and that the congregation would respond with the refrain, "His love endures forever." Okay? But in any case, we can't miss that this is one of the main messages of the psalm. But at the same time, there's interwoven with that message some very important messages about who God is and what he has done. So the first three verses look to the character and the identity of God. So we begin by saying, "Thanks to God, for he is good." So the most upfront thing here from the psalm is the character of God, that he is good. And then in verse 2 and verse 3, we learn something more of his identity. "Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords." This very specifically points to God and his unique headship and sovereignty over all of the universe. In the next few verses, verses 4 through 9, we recount God's work of creation, God's work that brought everything into existence and placed it as we find it, as we in the world we live in. "So to him who does great wonders, by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, and who made the great lights," we can go down first, "the sun to govern the day, and the moon and stars to govern the night." Okay. So this recounts, in our perception and understanding, God's first work, God's work of creation. Okay, and as we continue, the psalm speaks of God's work with his people. Okay? And it speaks about how God brought Israel into the promised land. "To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm to deliver, to him who divided the Red Sea and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness, to him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings." We all didn't figure out how to pronounce that, right? "Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance to his servant Israel." Now we address very specifically what, why God did these things, his relationship with Israel as he did these things. "He remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies." Now there's a penultimate statement. "He gives food to every creature." Okay? Now we're back to all of creation. While we're looking at Israel, now we go back and say, for everyone, for everything, for all of creation, God is providing. And we're giving one final command, which is a summary, and to send us on our way in worship. That is, give thanks to the God of heaven. And the entire congregation said, "His love endures forever." Okay. This was an observance which Israel made at least four times a year. at Hanukkah and other occasions, including the Passover. We too should take time at regular occasions to remember what God has done for us. So we'll take a few minutes, and I'll ask each of you to think upon what God has done for you individually this year, and what God has done for us as a church this year. Okay. I'm going to have a focus today, which I don't know if it will surprise you, but perhaps it's not a focus that everyone has had this year. That is, I'd like to review what God has said to us this year through our pulpit. Okay. Part of our worship, very important part of our worship, each week we have a preacher. And I'm careful to use the word preacher instead of the word speaker. Of course, the preacher is also a speaker. But the point is, the speaker is not speaking for him or herself. The speaker is standing in the office of prophet, which doesn't mean telling the future necessarily, but it means in the position of speaking for God. And so each preacher has as their goal to allow God to speak through them. Okay? And we have, of course, a good number of sermons throughout the year. So let us recount what God has said to us in these sermons throughout the year. So I have here, with, I think, Control L, we can full screen. I think that's probably as big as we can get. So here is at least the start of the list of the sermons we've had this year. So I'd like to read the titles for you. And does anybody have the book I handed out at the very beginning of the year? Some of you have it at home. Okay. Can I get the usher to try to stand? I don't know if we have enough. Now, I know for our visitors today, some of these things you weren't here, so you won't have a recollection. But for those of you that were here, let's go through this and let's recall what God has said to us, both as a church and individually. And so the questions I have for you is, did God speak to you through these sermons? Were there particular ones where God said particular things to you? Okay. So let's begin at the beginning, and let's just go through.
So you did the first one and the last one.
First one and the last one, this is true. We began the year with a sermon on ethics. Actually, the long title was On the Limits of Ethical Reasoning. We continued with Out of Darkness into Light. They will know we are Christians. Living in the Wake of Quake. It's all about being super. By the way, if you don't remember these sermons, I did make sure that the scripture is next to it. If you can go back and refresh your memory a little bit. Because it's all about being super. It's, of course, the story about how some of the disciples felt like they should be super, sitting next on the right-hand side of Christ, and what happens. Okay? It is I, living water, the lost son, my life, the power of the gospel. You are the man. Prophet Nathan to King David. The great reversal. Proclaiming the Lord's death. The road to Emmaus. The Word became flesh. God's way. Forgiving and forgiving. What God thinks of us. Our ministry of reconciliation. A shepherd's voice. The good neighbor. God meant it for good. The grace of Jesus. Choosing what's best. Sin and death, or grace and life. The great commission of Jesus Christ. Lessons for a godly 4th of July. He became poor. We can He became poor so that we might become rich. Resting in the Word of God. Gentle whisper. Faith isn't mustard seed. There is a hope. Kiss insecurity goodbye. My talents committed and exercised for the King. The bread of life. God's chosen people. Roles and responsibilities. A doctor visit. We must tell our story. Hidden from the learned, revealed to children. John the Baptist pointing finger. What the world needs now. Ending of war. The church, the body of Christ. My Hebrew's not so good. Yod, He, Vav, you will be my witnesses, living to be forgotten. The Word became flesh. Have you got room? The humble and the wise. Today, recounting the great works of God. God has spoken to us, sometimes some sermons are more specifically for us, perhaps. But I think we should be cautious in ever saying that, oh, that sermon's not for me. Because God does speak to us. Sometimes he may say something unexpected to us in the context of a sermon, and something that indeed is only for us. Maybe a thought, experience, a recollection, or maybe a even discipline that God gives individually to us through sermons that speak specifically to us. Of course, we're a number of important events that happened in the life of the church throughout the year. I'm going to give you a chance to get a little exercise. Could I ask everybody who was on the camping trip last year, Memorial Day, to please stand up? Okay. That's great. Okay, thank you. I'll let everyone sit down now. I hope everybody who was able to attend enjoyed that, and I hope we'll be repeating that this year. We hope that everybody can go. Baptisms on two occasions. Can I ask everyone who was baptized this year to please stand? Great. Thank you. We had a local missions activity. It was very local. It was right here in this very building. The week of service. So everyone who participated in the week of service, could you please stand? Okay. Thank you. And we had a missions trip that went probably about as far as you can get. The other side of the world, in a corner of China, which was not that easy to get to, but which, by the testimonies we've heard, God did a great work there. So for those of you who are on that missions trip, could you please all stand as well? Thank you all very much. God has done many things in this church. And sometimes in the sermons, in the activities, in the events, we need to, I guess, pay attention to what God is saying to us and what God is doing in our lives. And sometimes it's easy to miss what God is saying and doing. Okay? And so what I would encourage us all to do is to spend time discerning what God is saying and what God plans for us and what God wants to do with us and through us. And I think you can see God weaves many different things together. Each one of us had a different experience in the past year. And God dealt with us as individuals. But he weaves our lives together in the church. Okay? Many of us have certain particular events coming up. Some of us are thinking about going to college next year, and some of us are, as was pointed out earlier, thinking about things which sort of affect those who are no longer young except in spirit. But God is weaving our lives together. God is making us into a church, and it's very important that each one of us to really seek God and how he wants us to participate in his work. And it's always important to remember that it is his work, that everything that is done in our lives, in the church, what he did for the children of Israel and creation itself was his work. Amazingly, he asks us to participate, to be involved with his work. And that is one of the great privileges. And so as we begin to look forward to the new year, let us seek what God will be saying to us in the coming year. Let us seek who he would like us to reach out to, whose lives he wants us to touch, where he wants us to go, and what he wants us to do. So let us pray together the coming year. Father, let each heart here turn toward you. And ask, what do you have for me to do, Lord? Who do you have for me to reach out to? And most of all, Father, how can I be closer to you? Speak to our hearts and make us into the people who are your people, and make us into the church you have called. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.